Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry. Welcome to the show. We look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus at the rapture of the church. Well, folks, it's great to be back home, and I am coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. It is September 17th, 2016, and my wife, Patty, and I just got back from a five-day Bible prophecy conference in Poplarville, Mississippi, where September 11th through the 15th, I preached at Community Baptist Church. That church is pastored by Brother Bill Cameron. Him, his wife Abby, their family, and the whole entire church family there were just absolutely phenomenal. They were great to us. They treated us very well, even gave us a car loaner while we were out there. And we just had a wonderful time. As I spoke about current events that are going on in the world today that we believe is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And we just had a wonderful five nights while we were out there in Mississippi. Mississippi, especially in that area of Poplarville, Wiggins, it's like a second home for my wife and I. We have so many friends out there in Mississippi, a lot of pastor friends. I've preached at many churches out there in Mississippi. So it's like a second home for us. We also have friends over the border there in Louisiana. Churches came out from all over. Some friends from Louisiana came out. And folks, we just had a phenomenal time. We just had a wonderful time opening up the prophetic word of God and looking at current world events. My wife and I just got back home yesterday from flying all day. And we flew out of Louisiana around 3:30 or so. And we got back to Rhode Island probably at around 11:30 or so at night. And so, but I tell you, it's great to be back in your own bed, and it's great to be back in your own home. But this is going to be short-lived because I only have one day to relax and be at home today. And then I fly out Sunday to Israel. I will be leaving for Israel along with a good friend of mine, Pastor Baron Roderick, of First Baptist Church in Bellingham, Massachusetts. I've preached for Brother Barry many times over there at his church. I've invited him to come with me to Israel. We're not going there to tour. And, of course, we're going to be with the Zoe Levitt Ministries tour group, but not a part of their tour group. We're going there, paid for by ZLM, praise the Lord, thanks to all of the donors who give toward to the Jew First Fund. We are going there, as I have done a few times in the past, to share the gospel with the Jewish people. We're going to be distributing Bibles, Hebrew Bibles while we're out there, putting them in the hands of a Jewish person, and giving them the good news of Messiah, the good news of the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, that he is indeed prophesied Messiah of Israel. And so I've done this already twice with Dr. Todd Baker, whom he is right now in Greece, and he will be meeting us over there in Israel after he's done his tour there in Greece. So it will be myself, Pastor Baron Rodericks, Dr. Todd Baker, and three other individuals. We're going to be going there, and we're going to be sharing the good news with Jews and Arabs, the good news of the gospel, putting a Bible in their hands. We're also going to use this opportunity to Bible prophecy on location while we are there. I've done this before with Dr. Todd Baker. We've taught Bible prophecy on location there in Israel, and of course, as well as in Rome, we have taught Bible prophecy on location. And so we're looking forward to doing the same thing out there in Israel. But at the same time, we're going to be sharing the good news with the Jewish people out there. So I would ask all of you to please pray for us as we go out there to Israel and minister the word of God to the Jewish people and the Arab people, as well as teach Bible prophecy on location. So I am looking forward to that. I also want to thank all of you who have contributed to helping us and supporting us with the car rental while we are out there. So we're going to get our car rental. It's already paid for. And we are going to be going there and just driving around all over Israel. My wife and I did this past March. We drove all over Israel. Actually, it was my first time driving, excuse me, in the Holy Land. And so this is going to be my 15th trip to Israel. I've been there 14 times. This is going to be for the Holy Land. And Lord willing, it will be my last trip going over there. Again, thanks to Zola Levitt Ministry and to the Jew First Fund for sending us there. And we're really, really looking forward to it. Now, guys, you can follow me on the social networks. Follow me on Facebook, August Rosado. Follow me on Twitter, Bible_prophecy, or August Rosado, or on LinkedIn, Evangelist August Rosado. You can also visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter. They go every single week. And we're just looking forward to seeing what God is going to do with the program today. So what I want to do is I want to get into what I want to talk about today. And what I do want to talk about, folks, is the abomination of the Queen James Bible. Yes, you heard me right. The abomination of the Queen James Bible. And the Bible warns, in the last days, people will tamper with the Word of God. They will seek to distort the Word of God to make it fit their own viewpoint rather than God's viewpoint. And I want to read out of, if you have your Bibles, you can go along with me in Proverbs chapter number 30, verses 5 and 6, where it says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." God will expose you, and you'll be found to be a liar. And folks, that is the case with those who have been doing it for centuries. And even today, in this day and age, they are tampering with the Word of God. They are distorting the Word of God to make it fit their sin or their point of view. So in the last days, and we're living in the last days now, prior to the rapture of the church, there would be many who would tamper with the Word of God. This tampering of the Holy Scriptures as I said, folks, has gone on for centuries, and the integrity of the Word of God has come into question. Spiritualized or allegorized scriptures rather for their plain sense interpretation. And when you add or subtract and distort the Word of God, you are bringing the integrity of the Word of God into question. And frankly, I find that to be blasphemous. The liberal, unregenerate movement today will seek to cast doubt on the verity of the Word of God and the person of God. We see Satan doing the same thing early on in the Garden of Eden. He's doing it to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, casting doubt on the Word of God. In Genesis 3, 1, it says this: "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's not what God said, but he's distorting the words of God. He's deceiving Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2:16, God said, "Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Satan twisted the words of God. He distorted the word of God. Just as Satan cast doubt on the word of God in the garden, unregenerate, liberal man today is being used by Satan, folks, to do the same exact thing. Again, in Genesis 2:16, God told Adam and Eve, "Thou mayest freely eat of every tree that's in the garden." And Satan went ahead and cast doubt on that and said, "Did God really say that?" God said all sexual immorality is sin, whether a hetero or non-hetero. All sexual immorality is sin. And today, man says, "That's not true. Did God really say that?" You know, Satan told Adam and Eve, "Yea, hath God said?" Did he really say that? And God in his word said all sexual immorality is sin. And today, man is saying, "Did God really say that?" And folks, today, the world and even liberal churches are casting doubt on what God said in his word and denying the authority of the scriptures. What I hold in my hand is the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. And yet the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. And Satan, throughout the century, has sought to alter, dilute, and change the written word of God. Now, folks, the warning in verse number 6 of Proverbs chapter 30 is this: "Add thou not unto his words." By adding to the word of God, or subtracting for that matter, by doing so, you are asked for serious trouble. And God said he would expose such people and reveal exactly who they are. Liars. And what happens to liars? In Revelation 21, verse number 6, it says this: "But the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." God said, don't add to his words, he will expose you, and you will be found a liar. And that's what we're going to do today, as we talk about this new Sodomite-friendly translation called the Queen James Bible. And I use that translation, that word, very loosely. Folks, it is a serious thing to tamper with the Word of God. By doing so, as I said, you question the integrity of God. You question the integrity of the Scriptures. And throughout the Word of God, we see this. God warns throughout Scripture against tampering with his holy word. And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 2, where God said, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish or subtract aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. In Deuteronomy 12:32, it says, what thing soever I command you, you observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, diminish, or subtract from it. Now, folks, we believe in verbal inspiration. Verbal means what comes out of your mouth. We believe in verbal inspiration, and we believe in plenary inspiration. Verbal inspiration, for an example, comes from the words of Jesus in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's verbal. If God can inspire his word, God can also preserve his word. And that's even being denied in the church today and in a lot of Bible seminaries that are out there, theological institutes. It's unbelievable. That little bit that's creeping into churches and into theological seminaries today. How can man live by every word of God if God has not inspired and preserved his word? And that's why Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. God did not only inspire it, he will also preserve it throughout the ages. And that's exactly, folks, what he has done. So we believe in verbal, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, verbal inspiration. But we also believe in plenary inspiration. Plenary simply means the whole. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, we believe it all. We believe everything in the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, that's plenary, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we believe in verbal inspiration, and we believe in plenary inspiration, all of it. We have two basic textual manuscripts that are known to us today. The traditional text of the mid-2nd century A.D. in Antioch, Syria, at around 150 A.D. And then we have the Alexandrian manuscript of the 4th century A.D. You have the traditional text of 150 A.D. in Antioch, Syria, that was known in Syrian as the Peshitta. The Peshitta. And the Peshitta was copied by God-fearing believers. And then you have the corrupt critical text, the Alexandrian text, of the 4th century A.D. produced by the Gnostics of Alexandria, Egypt. And the Gnostics believed that anything that had Jesus had a body, Jesus could not be the Christ, God in the flesh, because he had a human body. And that's exactly what the Gnostics of Alexandria, Egypt believed at that time in the 4th century A.D. But the believers in Antioch, Syria, which was home for a while to the Apostle Paul, in 150 A.D., they believed all of that. And they penned down the copy of what we call autograph. An autograph is a copy of an earlier doctrine or an earlier manuscript. The believers or the brethren in Antioch, Syria, in 150 A.D., copied what was known then. Several centuries later, it was called the Textus Receptus, or Receptus, if you will. But the Gnostics, Alexandria, Egypt, was a hotbed of Gnosticism. The critical text of the 4th century AD, produced by two ungodly men, Westcott and Hort. They denied the inspiration of Scripture, the preservation of Scripture. They denied the deity of Jesus Christ. They were sympathetic to Rome and the papacy. And the manuscripts of Westcott and Hort have deleted nearly 2,800 words and was also endorsed by German rationalism or the German school of higher thought. The critical text of the Alexandrian manuscript is the basis for a lot of modern-day translations today, including the corrupt Bible translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses called the New World Translation. Also comes from this critical text, or the corrupt manuscript. Here is how important God's word is to him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Have you ever wondered what a jot or a tittle is? What does Jesus mean by that? Well, being a first century Jewish rabbi, when Jesus mentioned Yeshua, the jot is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet called the Yod, Y-O-D, has a Y sound, the Yod. And the tittle is it's like a small projection of a Hebrew letter, the beginning of a stroke to form a Hebrew letter. That is how precise God is about his word. Not one jot or tittle will pass from the Torah, will pass from the law. Many modern translations today, they come from the critical text of the corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts, like the NIV, the CEV, the ESV, and the New World Translation of the Jehovah's. And by the way, if you were writing a book about something, you couldn't use any of those modern translations I just mentioned without express written consent of the owners of those modern translations. But there is no copyright on the King James Version. You can use that in any book that you write any time you want without any express written consent whatsoever. There is no copyright on the King James Bible, but there is copyright on NIV, CEV, ESV, and the New World Translation. And all of them come from the corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts of Westcott and Hort, the critical text of the 4th century. The godly believers in Antioch, Syria, in 150 A.D., as I said, they had what we call opographs, spelled A-P-O-G-R-A-P-H-S, opographs. An opograph is a copy of an earlier document, an earlier Greek manuscript, if you will. The Syrian word for the traditional text of 150 A.D. by those godly believers was called the Peshitta, P-E-S-H-I-T-T-A. The Peshitta, which simply means common. But several centuries later, it was called the Textus Receptus. And from the Textus Receptus would come the King James Bible. Now, Docetism, or Docetic Gnosticism, was prevalent in Alexandria, Egypt at this time. So the Gnostics, all physical matter was evil. Anything that possessed the body, anything that was flesh, was not considered to be sinless or holy, but it was all evil. So Jesus had a body, so Jesus was inherently evil. So he could not have been the Messiah of Israel. He could not have been the Savior of the world, the Christ, the Son of the living God. So so they say, because Jesus possessed a body, he was not. Gnostic philosophy found its way, ladies and gentlemen, into the corrupt Alexandrian manuscripts called Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And folks, 90% of modern critical text today is based on those two corrupt manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. A man by the name of John William Virgin from the 19th century. He was a conservative. We could have called him a fundamental Baptist today. But he was also an outspoken critic and opponent of Westcott and Hort. He made this statement, and I quote, "I believe the Bible is the word of God, and I believe that God's word must be absolutely infallible. I shall therefore believe the Bible to be absolutely infallible. But if I am asked whether I believe the words of the Bible to be inspired, I answer, to be sure. I sure do. Every one of them, and every syllable, likewise." She says, "I believe it all." But here's what's interesting. When Virgin compared the corrupt Alexandrian manuscript, century A.D., to the traditional text, the Peshitta, copied by those godly believers in 150 A.D., he came up with something very, very interesting. When Virgil compared the critical text of the corrupt Alexandrian manuscript of the Gnostics with the traditional text of the Peshitta by the godly believers of 150 A.D. in Antioch, Syria, here's what he found. You ready? Vatican deleted 2,877 words. They added 536 words. Substituted 935 words. Transposed 98 words. And modified 1,132 words. For a total of 7,578 changes. However, with Sinaiticus, remember, the Alexandrian manuscripts consisted of those two manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Sinaiticus deleted 3,455 words. And they added 839 words. They deleted 3,455. 839 words were added. 1,114 words were substituted. 2,299 words transposed. 1,265 words modified, for a total of 8,972 changes, more than Vaticanus itself. The corrupt Alexandrian critical text today is used by the Gnostics. It's used by the Jehovah's Witnesses, by the Unitarians, and by liberal theological schools today. What we have today, folks, is the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. The final authority, all the way back to those godly believers, when they translated the traditional text, the Peshitta, which was known several centuries later as the Textus Receptus, from which came the King James Bible. You can choose to believe that, or you can choose to reject it. That is your choice. I choose to believe. Those guys in 150 A.D. had not the original autographs, but they had the orthographs. The orthographs, copies of an earlier written Greek manuscript. So if God can inspire his word, as he says in the Bible, he can also preserve his word, as he also said in the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." We also find the warning in Revelation 22, 18 to 19. It warns yet once again with tampering with the word of God. It's a serious thing. He says in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, "But I testify unto every man that heareth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of his prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. Folks, God is dead serious about this. Stop tampering with the word of God. Stop molesting it. Stop distorting it to fit your own liberal viewpoint. The Bible says by doing so, here are the consequences. All the plagues of this book, in the book of Revelation, will come upon those who willfully distort the book and add to it. The plagues in the book of Revelation, the seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven vial bowl judgments, all of them, the plagues, all of the horror will come down upon such people because they were unregenerate and they were never born again. They were never saved. He or she will also have no part in salvation that leads to one's name in the book of life. They will not reign with Jesus in the holy city, that would be Jerusalem, and they will not experience any of the blessing portion of the book of Revelation. What is that blessing? Reigning with the Lord Jesus, not only in the millennial kingdom, but also in the eternal state of Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Folks, God is dead serious about those tampering with his word. Sodomite movement came up with their own corrupt translation called the Queen James Bible. And within that Queen James Bible so-called, they removed all references to sodomy. All references. The corrupt sodomite-friendly translation changes the passages that are found in the classic King James Version. Let me give you an example. In the King James Version, in Leviticus 18:22, says this: thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, an abomination. However, in the Queen James Bible, it says this: thou shalt not lie with mankind as with woman in the temple of Molech. It is an abomination. So do you see how it distorted Leviticus 18:22? Do you see how it changed? Do you see how it's added to the word of God? They say it's okay for a man and a man to be together and a woman to be together. Just don't do it in the temple of Moloch. It's an abomination. Are you kidding me? Folks, this is a clear example of what God warned about in his word. Clear distortion. The willful distortion. And molestation. The molestation of God's holy word. God calls sin, sin. And if that lifestyle is an abomination and God calls it an abomination, I'm going with God. I'm not going with the government. All because the government legalizes sin doesn't make it right, doesn't make it moral. People say, well, we don't find that word homosexuality in the Bible. We see passages like Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20:13. If it's not found in the Bible, then why do those passages bother this movement? Why does it bother them so much? And why do they get rid of it? Romans 1:26-28 also condemns that lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 6:9 mentions effeminate. Go and get a dictionary and look up the word effeminate in 1 Corinthians 6:9 in the King James Bible. Effeminate literally means homosexuality. Then in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it talks about abusers, sodomy, sodomites, fornicators, sexual immorality. Did Jesus condemn this lifestyle? Absolutely. In Mark 7:21-23, Jesus said, "But from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." What is within? The heart of man. And yet Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" When Jesus used the word fornication, fornication just doesn't cover two people living together without a marriage license, a man and a woman. Fornication covers all types of sexual sins, whether they're heterosexual or whether they are homosexual. It covers all broad sexual sins. The word fornication is the Greek word pornos. We don't get the English word pornography. Yet God says that even in the tribulation period, they'll be practicing these sins. God says not one of them will enter the kingdom of God who practices lifestyle. Even in the tribulation period, they will be practicing these same exact sins. If you got your Bible, go with me to Revelation chapter number 9, and you'll notice with me in Revelation chapter number 9 and in verses 20 and 21 says this, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, of the judgment of God coming on the world in the future tribulation period, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and out of the gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk." That's idolatry. Verse 21. "Neither repented they of their murder, nor of their sorcery." That's the Greek word pharmakeia, where we get the English word drug. They don't repent of their drug use. "Nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication." Pornos, sexual immorality. Heterosexual, homosexual, doesn't matter. "Nor of their death." Folks, God is that serious about this stuff. Even in the upcoming 7-year period of tribulation, they are practicing these sexual sins. Yet, in conclusion, God warns about tampering with the word of God, and he will judge all those who do so. Jesus said concerning the thief, "The thief cometh not but for to steal," kill, that's Satan. But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." He came to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood for you and I. Listen, I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate lesbians. I love them. I love them enough to share with them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even though all of us, me, you, everybody, we're all worthy of God's wrath and judgment, but God in his mercy has given us space to repent of our sins, to turn from our sin, to turn from our wicked lifestyle, and to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. Only God can deliver anybody from any sexual perversion, any sexual sin, whether it's heterosexual or not. God can deliver you from that. Remember, there is always a payday for sin. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow, but rest assured, there is always a payday. God, if you're caught up in that lifestyle, I just want to say God loves you so much. I love you enough to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. You say, "Well, I don't want to change my lifestyle. Would you still love me?" Yeah, I would. I would still love you, but I would hate your lifestyle. God loves the sinner, but hates the sin. And you have an opportunity to receive that free gift of eternal life, paid for when Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you and for me on the cross of Calvary 1,000 years ago. Nobody deserves to die because of a lifestyle. I don't care what it is. Nobody. Nobody. But judgment does belong to the Lord. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, especially if you've never been born again, if you've never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior. You say, "August, how do I do that?" Well, you can pray something like this. "Lord Jesus, and I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you shed your blood for me. You were buried, and 3 days later, you rose from the dead. And I know that one day you're coming back with power and great glory. And you will judge all this wickedness. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins today. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. And I now receive you as my Lord and personal Savior. Cleanse me by your precious blood. Wash all my sins away. Help me to live for you. Forsake my lifestyle. And to live the way, Lord, that you want me to live. By your grace and by your power. To enable me to do so. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me today. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, boy, I really would love to hear from you. So I can just rejoice with you, hug on you, even if it's a cyber hug, and to let you know, welcome to the family of God. Direct you to a good local Bible-believing, gospel Christian church in your area. God is such a loving God, but he's also a God of wrath, the dual nature of God. Jesus can either be your Savior now, or one day he'll be your judge. You need to make that choice. I hope and pray that you made that choice today. Well, I'm going to bring this broadcast to a close. Tomorrow, September 18th, 2016, I'm not preaching at a church anywhere, but I am leaving for Israel. I will be in Israel for 10 days. And we're going to be there ministering the word of God to the Jewish people and the Arab people. Sharing the good news of the gospel with them and putting a Bible, a Hebrew Bible, in their hands. I will also be teaching Bible prophecy on location, as well as continue our morning Bible prophecy devotion, even though it's going to be night over there, it's going to be daylight here. I'm going to be doing our Bible prophecy devotion there from Israel as we continue with the final two chapters of the book of Revelation. By the way, chronologically, the last of chapters are chapters 21 and 22, but I will be in chapter number 17 next Monday. So I hope that you make sure to tune in on Facebook. Well, folks, this evangelist, August Rosado, of Today in Bible Prophecy Ministry, saying keep looking up. Jesus is indeed coming soon, and it could be today. Remember, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And don't forget to follow me on the social networks, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Sign up for our newsletters. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.